We're going to start here the top of Chaf Vav and Aleph. The Gemara is discussing the Mishnah. Now we're up to the Psulei Udu, doing it with Socharei Shvi'it, people who transacted in Perot Shvi'it. So Amar Bishem Etchila Yukorim Otonos Usfei Shvi'it. In the beginning we called them those that gathered Perot Shvi'it. In the end they called them Socharei, people who were merchants who transacted in Perot Shvi'it. My Kamar. So what's going on in the Mishnah? What is it? What happened? What changed over here? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Achi Kamar Betchila Yomrim Usvei Shvi'it Ksherim Socharin Psulim. Those that gathered in Perot Shvi'it were fine. I mean, whether it was Aniyim who were collecting Perot Shvi'it to eat, a person, even a bite who took in to eat for his family, they've been fine. Socharin Psulim. Those people were actively engaged in the commercial activities with Perot Shvi'it, they were Psulim Neidut. So people came up with a great idea. Instead, you know, it doesn't look good if we go out and we take all these perot shvit. But the aniyim, they're entitled to go, and nobody would question that the aniyim are taking the perot shvit. So what do? They paid the aniyim, said, go, pick the perot shvit, bring them to us. So they basically paid the aniyim to pick the perot shvit and bring it, and then they could, you know, make commercial enterprise out of getting these perot shvit. So they went ahead, and they did it. Umaitu, and they brought it to them. Chazul Omar, so then they said, Echadze, Echadze, Psulin. Then they said, even Osvei Shvit are Psulim, because, now here it's Machogus, who is Pasul over here. When we say Osvei Shvit Psulin, does that mean it's the Balabatim who are paying the Aniyim to get the fruits? They were Psulim? Or is the Osvei Shvit the Aniyim themselves, who are acting on behalf of the Balabatim? They're being paid, so they're also now become Sochrei Shvit. So, we've shown him, disagree or dispute who is the person that is pasul over here. Now, kashu b'bnei rachava. So b'nei rachava said, wait a minute, that doesn't make so much sense, because in the Mishnah it says, hi, mishirabu hanasim. Right? Mishnah says they changed their mind, mishirabu hanasim. Rabu hanasim is that there was external pressure put on these individuals because of shvit, and that's what caused them to change. So we say here, Mishrabu Atagrimi by just that there were more people, more merchants, right? Businesses opened up on Perot Shvi'it. It's not an issue of Anasin. Ella Betchila Hayomrim. In the beginning, he said Echadze VeEchadze Psulim. It's the other way around. They used to both say that Osve Shvi'it and Socharei Shvi'it were problematic. Ah, Mishrabu Anasim. Then when the these armed robbers or these people put pressure on the individuals to either pay or to give them whatever they wanted. So when they became many, what is that? Maniu Arnona, because of the taxes. So it is because of the taxes. Kedemachris Rav Yehanai. So Rav Yehanai used to announce, Poku Vizaru B'Shvit. Go out and plant in Shvit Mishum Arnona to get out of the taxes. Chazud Omar, Osvim Ksherim Socharin Psulim. So after that, they went to say, those that are osef on shvi'it are kasher because they're doing it to pay off the taxes. Because what basically happened was the tax collectors assigned a certain tax burden on the field, whether you planted it or not.
So, shvi'it or not.
Right, shvi'it, not shvi'it, you had to pay it. So then the burden became, it was a huge pseudo if they didn't plant anything to give it to them. Or the possibility is that the anasim forced them actually to plant. They stood over them and they pressured them to plant, in order that they would plant on Shvi'it, because they wanted to get the crops, they wanted their pay. So therefore they stood on top of them. So there, Chazul Amar, Sufim, Ksherim, Socharim, Psulim. So that book, Gemara here, is a has unbelievable ramifications, both in the Kedushat Ha'aretz and in Shvi'it Bizman Hazeh. So these are two sugyot that I wanted to quickly discuss with you. The first is because of Rashi. Rashi says, why can, according to Rabbi Yonai, can you be poku v'zoru b'shvit? Yishrim Arnona. No. Well, who gives you permission? Just because you owe money, you're allowed to violate Nisar, Doraisa, to go out and plant on Shvit in order to pay the taxes? So Rashi says, no problem, it's Shvit bizman hazeh. Shvit bizman hazeh, so it's the Rabbonon. So the Rabbonon were makeyol in this instance, which is still very interesting that Rashi suggests that. Now Rashi says another line, which was unnecessary, and is actually controversial, which is the Tela Tushat Aretz. Because not only is there no Shvit, but there is no Kedushat Aretz. The Kedushat Aretz is Batel. Now Rashi didn't have to say this, and Rashi in other places in Shas does not say this. Rashi in other places says that Kedushat Aretz does exist, it's just that there is Shemitah, it's the Rabbanan. Just because there's Kedushat Aretz doesn't mean there's Shemitah, and we'll see in a second why. Maybe Shemitah can be the Rabbanan even when there's Kedushat Aretz. Tosfos brings down first the Rashi's answer, and then Inami, he gives a second answer. Second answer of Tosfos is Yesh Lomar the Pikuach Nefeshu. That there was real, their lives were in danger because they used to put heavy pressure on them. If they didn't pay, they used to incarcerate them, they used to whip them. There was a chance, there was a real possibility of loss of life if they didn't plant, and there was Pikuach Nefesh. The question with the second answer of Tosfos, which deals with both these sugyas, is why did Tosfos not like the first answer? There are two possibilities why Tosfos didn't like the first answer. Either he doesn't believe that Shviat Bizman Azeh is Durabonun, he believes that it's Doraisa. So that's why he had to come up with the Pikuach Nefesh reason. The other possibility is that Tosfos believes that even when Shviat is Durabonun, that's not enough to allow you to go and plant. Just because there's a hefsed, because you're going to lose some money, doesn't give you a right to plant. You need something more extenuating in order to violate Shviat Durabonun. Which would be the other machlokas, is what allows you to violate Shviat Durabonun. So just on that, I wanted to go quickly, I went through some quick makoros with you just to refresh our minds on this sugi. We've seen a lot of these makoros before. Here we have, the other place we have it is in the Gemara Moed Katan. Gemara Moed Katan asks, it says there in the Mishnah, Mashkin Beit HaShlachim B'Moed B'Shvit. You're allowed to water the fields on Chol HaMoed and on Shvit. So the Gemara says, alright, I understand Chol HaMoed, but Shvit, Shvit, where do you, how can you water fields on Shvit? That's an Issur D'Oraisa. So Gemara's answer is, Amar Abayi B'Shvit B'Zman HaZeh V'Rabihi. Shviat Bizman Azeh, which is Durabonon, according to Rabbi, and therefore Shviat Bizman Azeh. So Rashi writes two things there. Number one is, Umilta de Pseido Shoru Abonon. Rabbanon allowed things that were Pseido when it came to Shviat Durabonon. That's the first thing Rashi says. Second that Rashi says is, where's the limit from? The Gemara learns it out from Zed Var Shmita Shamot, Vishte Shmitot Akatu Midaber. So when Shmita Karka applies, Shmita Ksafim applies. When Shemitah Karka does not apply, Shemitah Ksefim doesn't apply. Rashi says from there you see that there'll be a period of time when Shemitah Karka doesn't exist. I have to come. When is that? That's now. But there is a time when Shemitah. So you see from Rashi again here the possibility in Moed Katan is that the Kedushat Haaretz does exist. The problem is that we have a limud that says Shemitah doesn't apply b'zman hazeh. The other Gemara we saw together in Gittin, which I haven't seen Machlokas Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam in Gittin, there the Gemara in Gittin has the same thing, which is Prusbol. How could Hillel be metakin Prusbol about Shemitah Ksafim if Shemitah Ksafim is Doraisa? So Amar Abayi, Abayi gives the same answer there, it was Shmit Bizman Azeh, V'Rabihi. So Rashi, in commenting on what is Shmit Bizman Azeh, he says, well, Shmit Bizman Azeh is the Rabbanan, but, little problem, when did Hillel live? Hillel lived during the Bayit Sheni. He lived during the base, when the Beis Hamikdash was still around. So Afakav, the Hillel Bayit Sheni, have a severe leila, Abayi, the Bayit Sheni, hov lo ye yovel noheg, lo nahagu shmitim deoraita. So Rashi says there's a connection between Shemitah and Yovel. And when there's no Yovel, there's no Shemitah. And so Rashi believes that during Bayit Sheni there was no Yovel, because you need Rov Yisrael, right, in Eretz Yisrael, you need all the Shvatim, all the Madam. So therefore there was no Yovel. Because there's no Yovel, there is no Shemitah. So Shemitah is the Rabbana, not only the Zman Hazeh, but even Zman HaBayit. As long as there's no Yovel, there's no Shemitah. He brings down another opinion from the Medrash Halacha. He says it turns out to be a machlokas whether Shviz Bizman Azeh, right, is noheg or not noheg. So then the Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam, it's the famous Rabbeinu Tam, argues on Rashi there and says, number one, the Yovel was noheg during Bayit Sheni. There was a Yovel during the Bayit Sheni. And number two, there's no connection between Yovel and Shemitah Karka. Even when Yovel is not around, Shemitah Karka still applies. So from number one, from the Rabbeinu Tam, it sounds like Shemitah Karka today would be Deoraisa. That's one. If you don't connect it to Yovel, then it might be an issue of Doraisa. Number two is, he says, why did the Yovel exist? He says, because when they came back, Yirmiyahu ben Hanavi brought back the 12 Shvatim. And he says, when he says that all the Rov Yisrael has to be there, and all each representative Shevet has to be there, he says, you just need one person from each Shevet. So if you have one person from each Shevet in Eretz Yisrael, that's enough to get you the 12 Shvatim. His kula turns out to be a huge chumra, that Yovel will apply even when you don't have what seems to be people Amam Adam and Rov Yisrael. So because the Rabbeinu Tam seems to be indicating that there is this concept that Shemitah today would be Deoraisa, which is a big deal. Shemitah Bizman Hazeh would be Deoraisa, as opposed to Rashi, who always seems to be leaning that it's Dirabonon. The quote, or where they're getting it from, is a Yerushalmi. There's Yerushalmi Masechet Shviat. Afilu Gaman Damar Maaserot Dvar Torah. Even according to the one who says Maaser is Dvar Torah, Modeb Shmita Dehi Divreihem. He agrees that today Shmita is only De Rabbanon. Why? Because Shasha no Yovel Noheg, Shmita Noheget. Dvar Torah, Paskua Yovlot, Shmita Noheget Midivreihem. So it's connected to the Yovel. When there's no Yovel, there is no Shemitah. So now, if you suggest such a concept, then it would make today that it would definitely be Shemitah would be only Derabbanan, because we don't have the Yovel, therefore Shemitah would be Derabbanan. Rabbeinu Tam explains this Gemara differently, and we're going to see that the Rambam seems to follow that that line of thought. The last Gemara is a Gemara actually in Yevamot. Gemara in Yevamot talks about the fact that Tanya Besed Olam, that there was Yerusha Rishonah B'Shniyah Yesh Lehem, Shlishit Ein Lehem. Means that when they came to Eretz Yisrael to be Mekadesh the Aretz, they came twice, but they're not going to have to come a third time to be Mekadesh the Aretz, implying that the second Kedusha stays. The Kedusha Aretz, which is Rashi says over here, Da'a Truma Nami Rabbi Yossi Derayzei Apizman Azeh. Why? Shegalu Galu Rishonah B'Tela Kedusha Aretz. When they went into Bavel, and there was Galus Bavel, Kedusha Aretz disappeared. About this pasuk tells us that Lo Blatla Kedusha Aretz, Ezra's Kedusha Aretz, never left. And that even after Galut Titus, after Galut Romi, there was Kedusha Aretz remains. So here Rashi is explicit against what he says here in our Gemara, that Kedusha Aretz remains even afterwards. It could be that Shemitah is Derabbanan, but still, Kedusha Aretz does remain. So that's what problematic or the Sira in Rashi over here. Now the Rambam, I'll run you through a bunch of Rambams, and you'll see that picture that comes out. The Rambam says in Yochod Shemitah B'Yovel, he says, Ein Shvit Noheget, Eleberetz Yisrael Bovat, Noheget, Ben Bifnei Abayit, Ben Shlo Bifnei Abayit. Whether it's a Mikdash or not, Shemitah exists. Number one. Number two, by Shemitah Ksafim. Ein Shemitah Ksafim Noheget Min HaTorah B'Zman She'Yovel Noheg She'Yisham Shemitah Karka. So that the Ksafim, Shemitah Ksafim is tied to the Yovel because there is Shemitah Karka. So what he means by there's Shemitah Karka over there is a question, but it sounds like he's learning like the Rabbeinu Tam, that Yovel is connected to Shemitah Ksafim and not necessarily to Shemitah Karka. Then he has another line, which is you're going to see now, is going to shed light on Shemitah. It says, we're still knowing Shemitah Ksavim midrabanan. Next, in Hilchos Trumot, Trumot v'masrot inu noig min haTorah be'eretz Yisrael ben bifnei abayit ben shel below bifnei abayit, like he says here. And then haTrumah b'zman hazeh afilu b'makom shehechziku al be'avel afilu b'me'ezra inu min haTorah ela midivrehem. Truma today is only midrabanan. She'en lecha truma shel Torah ela be'eretz Yisrael bovad uzman shekol Yisrael sham. Truma is only d'oraisa when we're in Eretz Yisrael, and all of the Jews are here. The robe of the Jews are found in Eretz Yisrael. He says he thinks that's the same din by masrot. Number next, chala, ein chayvim b'chala min haTorah be'eretz Yisrael bovad ubizman shekol Yisrael sham. So the same requirement as truma. Lefika chala bizman hazeh afilu b'me'ezra be'eretz Yisrael eino el midivrehem kamo shebi'arnu b'truma. So truma derabanan bizman hazeh, chala bizman hazeh derabanan, shemitah ksafim bizman hazeh derabanan. He says it explicitly in every case. Where is the one case he didn't say it? By shemitah. By shemitah he says noeg ben bifnei abayit ben shelo ben bayit, but it leaves out the fact that shemitah is noeg bizman hazeh mi divrayim. So the last Rambam is a very famous Rambam. That's Rambam Hilchos Beit Bechira. Rambam Hilchos Beit Bechira says that Kedushat Yerushalayim happened in the time of Shlomo and David. When Kedushat Yerushalayim was established in the time of Shlomo and David, it was never nitbatel. Why? Because that's, I'll read you in a second why, but that's Kedushat HaShchinah. On the other hand, Kedushat Eretz Yisrael was ruined when they went to Galut Bavel, was taken away, but then was reestablished by Ezra. Once it was reestablished by Ezra, it stays forever. So Rambam believes that Kedusha Rishona is for Yerushalayim forever. Kedusha Shnia for Eretz Yisrael is there forever. The Raivud takes issue with the Rambam here. Totally takes issue with him, and he says that Kedusha Shnia for the Aretz is permanent, but Kedusha of Yerushalayim got wiped out. And therefore the Raivud says over here that you can walk up onto Har HaBayit and there's no Chiyuv Karis. As that the Rebbe suggested, but this is the Rambam. I'll read you the Rambam. V'lamei ani omer b'migdash v'shalaim kedusha rishona kitchel atid davo u'kedusha sh'aretz Yisrael li'en shvit masrot ki yotzben lo kitchel atid davo l'fish kedash v'migdash v'shalaim mipnei shechina v'shechina ina b'teila. So once it was there, it doesn't go away. On the other hand, aval chiyuv aretz b'shvit masrot inu el mipnei shekibush rabim. Yeshua conquered the land. That's why they created the kedusha. Someone else conquers it, goodbye Kedusha. On the other hand, came inshallah, Ezra, Bikidsha, Lo Kidsha, Bikibush, Ela Bechazaka. And then when Ezra came back, he didn't take it through Kibush, he did it through settling the land, through Chazaka. Shekzikuba, Fika Chomakom Shekzikuba Ole Bavel, Nitkadesh, Vetushat, Ezra Shnia, who Mikudash Hayom, is still Kadosh until today. Even though we went into Galut, Chayib Shvi'it, Ube Masrot. And therefore it's Chayib in Shvi'it and Masrot. So here you have the Rambam. The Kesef Mishnah jumps on the Rambam in both places. He jumps on him here. He questions the Rambam Shita. He doesn't understand it. And number two, he says, I don't understand the Ravid either. And he jumps on the Rambam by in Shmita and Yovel. And he says that it sounds from the Rambam that Shmita is Doraisa. And the Orach HaShulchan HaAtid spells it out exactly. Also, he says that according to the Rambam, it sounds like Shmita Mizmanazeh is Doraisa, according to the Rambam. That's major nafkaminot. If Shmita is Doraisa today, that's major nafkaminot. The one person, the Rav in Alachuva, Rabbi Soloveitchik in Alachuva, mentions, he writes the principle that he establishes, how could it be that the Rambam has Kedusha Rishona as opposed to Kedusha Shnia? I sent you out the Makor, you can print it out. I'll say it out to you. He writes much more beautifully than I'll ever say it. So you can read it inside in the Rav in Alachuva. But he basically says that when it came to Yoshua, Yoshua had Kibush Rabim on Eretz Yisrael. Kedushat Yerushalayim did not exist yet. Kedushat Yerushalayim was only established hundreds of years after Kibush of Eretz Yisrael. So the Kedusha of Yoshua in Eretz Yisrael is not Noveya Mikdushat HaShchinah, it's Noveya Mikibush HaRabim, Kibush of Klal Yisrael as a whole. Therefore, way later on, when Yoshua is... the land is conquered by the Bavel, and their people are sent into Galut, that Kedusha can be Nitbatel, because that Kedusha, as the Rav calls it, starts from the outside and moves in. Meaning that there was Kibush Aretz, and then only later was Kedushat Yerushalayim established. He says, in the time of Ezra, it worked the exact opposite. Time of Ezra, the Kedushat Yerushalayim was already established, and when they come up from the Golah, where do they go first? To Yerushalayim to build the Mikdash. And there they build the Mikdash, and they build the Mikdash, and then afterwards spread out. And therefore they settle the land outside of Yerushalayim. So he says the Kedusha of Ezra is Noveya from Yerushalayim in the Mikdash, of the Kedushat HaShchinah. Because of the Kedushat HaShchinah, that we said is Lo Nidbatla. And because of that, Kedushat Ezra doesn't leave because it's Noveya from Yerushalayim instead of Kibush Rabim. So that's the way the Rav explains the difference between the Kibush Rabim of Yoshua, which seems should have been more powerful than the Chazakah of Ezra, but it all has to do with how Yerushalayim fits into the picture. Is Yerushalayim after the Kibush Rabim, or is it the source of the Chazakah that happens in time of Ezra, and that'll make a difference in whether it's permanent or not permanent? The other issue was Pseido on Shvi'it, which is another big issue. What can you do on Shvi'it if it's Derabonon, right? Are you allowed to do things because of Pseido? So this turns out to be a major, major machloket HaRishonim and later Achronim, which impacts what we do today in Shvi'it. The first one, it comes from Vayikra Abba. The Vayikra Abba, listen to this, he quotes the Pasuk, says, Giburei Koach Oseh Dvaro. Who are the Giburei Koach Oseh Dvaro? So Gemara goes here, V'dein, Chamei, Chakle Bairei, Karme Bairei. These are the farmers who leave their fields barren and their vineyards barren. Rehavi Arnona. And they still pay their taxes. Vishatit. And they take it all silently. Yesh lecha gibor gadol mizeh. Is anybody stronger than that? So the Medrash is praising people, not like what Rabbi Yannai said over here, that I'll go ahead and plant for. So how do you explain the difference? Do you explain the difference that the Medrash is talking about Doraisa when Shemitah's Doraisa and that's what they're talking about? Or is the Medrash disagreeing with Rabbi Yannai's position over here that you can plant for Arnona? The Rambam in Hilchot Shemitah brings down, he says, Mipnei mahi tiru kol eile. Why are these things permitted? So there's a permission to water, we said before, Beit HaShlachim. Why are we permitted to do this? Because if you don't do this, the whole land will be left barren. Everything will die. This is Shemitah's only me. Right, so then for the only word goes there in Yisra Torah. Here the Rambam is explicit that Shemitah and Yovel is only me, Derabanan. So even though it sounds like from the Rambam that it's the Oraisa, so over here he's making some point that it's only, right, only Derabanan. So we have to say that because these Yisurim are only Derabanan, right, even though we're talking about Shemitah Midoraisa, so we're talking about Melachot that are only Derabanan. Right. And then next halacha is Mishraba Anasim. Bitu Machi Al Kumal Isola Sod Manot L'Chaylutehem. Rambam believes Anasim here is not taxes, but rather to feed the armies. That's what they had to do. Hitiru Lizrua B'Shvit Dvarim Shetzrichim Lehem Avdei HaMelech Bilvad. V'chei Mishikafo Anas. Somebody forces him. Lasod B'Shvit B'Chinam Kumadat HaMelech Yotzvehem Harizeh Oseh. You do it. So the Shut, Mabit over here, he's one of the first that discusses this issue. It says over here, V'chol hani mutal ashkot, v'chol amoe dika v'hu pseida. V'chein shvit, lo shani lan ben pseida rabo, the pseida zuta. T'chol mash yafsi v'no yishkenu, avi pseida. If you don't water, anything that causes a loss, no matter how little the loss is, you're permitted to do it on shvi'it. It's a big heter based on the mabit. The shoot Mashiv Davar, the Nitziv, it's an unbelievable Nitziv, it's worth reading, it's a very long Nitziv, I even cut out a lot of it, it's still very long, the Nitziv. The Nitziv was writing about, they had a settlement in Eretz Yisrael, they faced the Shemitah, they didn't know what the farmers should do on Shemitah. So there were many Rabbanim, he quotes, many Rabbanim are willing to be matir them to plant on Shvi'it because of Pikuach Nefesh. Right, what's a Pikuach Nefesh? They have no Parnosa. So the Nitziv comes out very strongly against them. Number one, he says, at first he says it's only Darabana. Then he says Daraisa. And then he says, even Darabana, it's Kein Daraisa. It's Kein Daraisa. Who permitted you to do any work or Malach on Shvi'it? So first of all, he says, number one, what's the whole purpose of Shemitah? Is that you shouldn't work the land and the promises from HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the Brachot. We should teach them that if they don't do it, we'll see the miracles and they'll get the Brachot. Number two is, we should hire teachers to send from Poland and send them to Eretz Yisrael to teach them Torah during the Shemitah. Shouldn't sit around doing nothing. Let's teach them Torah during the Shemitah. Number three, he says, is that all these Rabbanan are willing to be matir for them. He says, I don't see any heter for them to work on Shvi'it. Because they don't have parnosa. That people should be aware in Chutz La'aretz about this and send them money. They should get money from Chutz La'aretz to support them, and better to do that than to work the fields. But the Nitziv is very, very narrow in his being matir. Number one over here, but we talk about the Anasim over here. He said that's only by Bikuach Nefesh. He says, like the second answer in Tosfos, so are you allowed to do this with working for the taxes? And number two, he says that pikuach or pseido is only when it's a pseido meruba, when it's a very heavy pseido, do we allow it to allow you to do something on shvi'it. This turns out to be a major machlokus between the Chazon Ish and Rav Kook. And that's basically today. Rav Kook says that only pseido gdola, in very unique circumstances, are you allowed to water the fields on the shvi'it. And that's only if it's to save the tree itself. Nothing to do with the peirot. It's only, I brought you here from Shabbat Haaretz, I brought you the Rav Kook. You can look at it there. He says that it has to be a pseida gdola, and it has to be something where you're not directly doing work on the tree itself, something around the tree. And number three, it has to be something that does not improve the fruits, but only sustains the tree. That's the Rav Kook who's machmir over here. The Chazon Ish is mekil. The Chazon Ish says, number one, pseida, that we don't, there's no blanket heter, but pseida gdola. The Chamim determined that watering the fields is a pseida gdola. Chazon Ish's big heter is he says that akume ilane, to sustain the tree is not simply to sustain the tree, but even the peirot. If the peirot will rot, that is enough of a heter to water the plants on shvi'it. It's not only to, he says this, even in the month Amar Doraisa possibly. Even according to one who says Shvi'it is Doraisa, the ability to ukume elane, the permission to water the fields, to sustain the trees, is so that the fruits will be sustained. You can't do anything to improve the fruits, but you can keep the status quo. And that's the heter that's used by Otzer Aretz and Otzer Beis Din, that they all plant the fields before Shvi'it, and the fruits start to grow. Once they start to grow, you can keep the status quo, you can keep them growing. You can't improve them, but you can water them in order to sustain their growing trajectory. That is the Chazon Ish. This machlokus between the Chazon Ish and the Rav Kook are based on one, the Gemara in Moed Katan, where Rashi says for Pseida that you're allowed to do something, whether that's Pseida Meruba, Pseida Zuta, which one is it? Number two is our Gemara over here. What's the heter of Yana? Is only by Pikuach Nefesh, or is it even by Pseida, monetary loss? And number three is Ikupe Elane. When we say you're allowed to sustain the trees, is that simply the trees themselves, or also the peirot on the trees? And my focus between here, it's one place where Rav Kook is Machmir, and the Chazon Ish is mekil in the Gabe Dat. So that kula of the Chazon Ish is used by all those that eat Otzer Aretz, or plant using Otzer Beis, and Otzer Aretz uses that kula of the Chazon Ish. Alright, back to the Gemara, I just wanted to give you a feel. It's an unbelievable sugya, it's a huge sass sugya, and it's very relevant to today. So I wanted to give you a little feel for it. Right back here, Rav Chiya bar Zarnukti, Rav Shimon ben Yehotzadaka, V'kaz v'aber Hashanah ba'Asya. They were going to be Ma'aber Hashanah in Asya. Tosos raises the issue here, as he did earlier in the Masechta. Asya is outside of Eretz Yisrael. How could they be going outside of Eretz Yisrael to be Ma'aber Hashanah? He answers here and there, in both places, he answers that they were going to the Chishuv Iber Hashanah, but not being Ma'aber Hashanah itself. Right, Pagabahu Reish Lakish, Rav Shogis bumped into them. Yitapu Baidai, he says, hey, this sounds like a good idea. Let me go see what they do. Let me learn from them. Amar Izel, right, Echze, Hechi, Avde, Uvda. How do they do this? Chazul Agavra, as they're walking, they see an individual out there, the Kokarif. He's plowing the field, and it happened to be Shemitah. So it's interesting here that they were going to do the Chishuv of Ibra Shana during a Shemitah year, where we learned before, you're not supposed to be Ma'abar the Shana during the Shemitah year. I mean, I guess it's not a lock, because if, by instance, as those points out there, if it happens to be that the Aviv won't turn out on Pesach, you have to be Ma'abar the Shana. It doesn't matter if it's a Shemitah or not. You have to ensure Midoraisa that Pesach falls out, the Chodesh Aviv. So it might be that that was the situation here, or they were just going to do the calculation. And the calculation might be that they don't have to be Ma'abar this year. Or it's Amalan, Kohen, Bechoresh. This guy's a Kohen and he's plowing on Shvit. So Amrulo. So they say back to him, they were Malamit Zchut. Yochol Omar, Giston Ani Betocho. He can say, I'm a Sakhir. I am just a Poel in the field. So now Rashi says, that gives two answers about what it means to be a Poel in the field. This might actually have to do, actually has big implications again, in terms of Shemitah. He says, one is Sakhir, Bekarka Shel Nachrihu. It was non-Jewish Karka, and he was a Poel in a non-Jewish Karka. So first of all, the fact that there was non-Jewish karka said it's mafkia midei shvi'it. That's one thing that you see from Rashi. Number two is you see that even though it's karka Eretz Yisrael, the Jew was allowed to work the land. So that would also relate to the question in Shemitah. Is the din of Shemitah that I'm not allowed to work the land of Eretz Yisrael, or that is classified as something that's kadosh v'kdushat shvi'it, or does the land must be fallow no matter where it is? So over here, it suggests that I can work the land as long as it's not to kadosh v'kdushat shvi'it, because it's by the Nachri. So I can do it. There's no restriction against the land itself being worked. On the other hand, Rashi gives a second answer. Inami mishum arnona. Skaro ba'al abayit lachrosh. Because they are arnona, he had permission to do it. So according to the second reason, the permission all has to do with arnona. So in that case, number one, the goy doesn't help you. That Rashi is rejecting that answer that the goy helps you. And number two is he's saying that the only heter to work the land over here you might be restricted from the working land. The only heter is arnona, right? Bikuach nefesh or arnona, whatever that heter is. So it's important Rashi also in this topic. All right. So now they went ahead. So another guy to have a kasuch b'charme. He was plucking off grapes in the vineyard. Amalan kohen v'zomer. You have a kohen. He's being zomer. He's pruning. During Shemitah, that's an Isur, right? Isur Doraitza of Zomer and Shemitah.
He was cutting the vines.
He was cutting the actual vines. Thank you, right. He wasn't plucking the grapes because he was using the wood. He was Zomer. He can say, I need it for the baskets for the olive press, where they put the olives in before they press them. He's using the wood for that. So Tosfos actually raises over here. So what? Still a psikration. You pop the etzim off and you're pruning the tree. It's a psikration that it grows. And we know by Shabbos, zomer, v'tzarech le'etzim, you're chayiv for two things. Because you need the etzim, plus you do zomer. So Tosfos says over here, he's doing it in a way that's ra'ah for the tree. It's bad for the tree. It's detrimental for the tree. So since it's detrimental for the tree, over here, by Shemitah, it's very interesting over here. In general, we say Melechus Makshevet by Shabbos is a kula. I showed you once before in Baba Kama, where it's a chumrah. That's where your menif beruach, that it was a chumrah. Here's another instance where Tosa says it's a chumrah. The Melechus Makshevet Asra Torah. So he says, the shiny gabe Shabbos, the Melechus Makshevet Asra Torah. Since he did what he intended to do, therefore it was not mutar. Right? So over here, he did it intentionally where it was detrimental to the tree. Detrimental to the tree. Shabbos, you'll still be chayav for picking the branches because that's malachas makshevet. Shemitah, you'll be put to work because the issue of Shemitah is to work the land, not to pick the branches. So there you be. So what's the kasha then? Can you really do that? So that's they said. So they said back to him, it's okay because he's doing the Beit HaAkal. All right, so now, Reish Lakish says, listen, Amar Lehem, Alev Yodea, Im La'akel, Im La'akal Kalot. Let me tell you something. Only in the heart do people really know, is he doing this for the baskets, or is he doing it to violate Shemitah? You guys can say whatever you want to say, but you have no clue what he's doing. Whatever he's doing is in his heart, and we don't know what he's doing. So he wasn't so happy with the answer that they were being malamed zchut over here. So hi, Amar Lu Bereisha, which case happened first? If the first case was the case where they were plowing in the field, Amar Lu Bereisha, Anami Leimu Agiston Ani Betochol. Why doesn't they give the same answer over here by the vineyard that he was a socher, he was a poel in the Nachri's field, or he's doing it for the Arnona? Meaning that, why don't you suggest the same answer for the vineyard? So it must be, Allah Amar Lu Bereisha. Must be that he said the vineyard case first. That was the first case they saw. There they told them the Beit HaKal. Then they saw Bahadur Marluhach. Then they saw the next case, which was they were plowing. And when they saw the plowing case, obviously that's not the Beit HaKal that you're plowing. It's clear that you're doing work in the land. There they said, Ani Agiston Betocho. All right. Maishna Kohen. Now why did both times he say that he's a Kohen? Mishum Techashide Shvi'it. Kohanim are Chashud Ala Shvi'it. Why? The time I'll explain in a second why they're Chashud Shvi'it. But here's the Brisa that supports it. It's a Tosefta in Shumot. Sa'at Shumash Naflal Me'asa In Shel Shvi'it. Right? A Sa'av Shumah that falls into 100 Sa'av Shvi'it. We know that Truma is batel midra abonon in 100 to 1. So taleh, there you don't have to worry about it. So it's perot shvit with one of truma. The truma is batel in the perot shvit, and yeah, you can say taleh. Pachot becomes less than 100 to 1. You're kavu. They have to rot. Why? Because now you have meduma. You have meduma, which is truma and shvit mixed together. And who's the only person who can eat meduma? The kohen. So Mar says, "Va'avinan ba amay your kavu. Why should they rot? Yimachrena lekohen b'dmei truma, right? Chutz mi'dmei otosa. Sell it to him as dmei truma, which is the lower price because only kohanim can eat it. And you'll sell him. Say it was 70 to 1. There was 70 sa'av shvi'i perot shvi'it and 1 sa'av truma. So sell him a price of 70 dmei truma instead of 71 because he won't charge him for the truma. And then why should they have to go to rot? So he says, "Amar avchia mishmei deula zotomer nechshdu kohanim." The Kohanim were next to a Shvi'it. So therefore, what they couldn't give it, you can't sell it to the Kohen. Why are Kohanim next to a Shvi'it? Rashi tells us over here. The Moraba Heter. They're Mora Heter on Perot Shvi'it, even after Zmana Bior, even they don't take Kedushat Shvi'it seriously. Why? They say, well, we eat Truma. Why is Truma is a derivative of Kedushat Aretz, and we eat Truma. So Shvi'it, which is also a derivative of Kedushat Aretz, we're also going to eat those, and we don't have the same restriction. Just like Yisraelim are restricted in Truma, we're not. So to be Shvi'it, Perot Shvi'it, the Yisraelim are going to be restricted and not us, because they're both derivatives of Kedushat Aretz. So they're more ahead to themselves. They do things by Perot Shvi'it that we don't like or are impermissible. Therefore, we don't allow Kohanim to take Perot Shvi'it. It's funny here that Rashi also mentions Kodshi Kodashim. I don't know why he mentions that as being something unique. I guess it's because it's different from them than the rest of Klal Yisrael. Nobody else is allowed to eat Kodshi Kodashim. By Kodshi Kodashim, others are allowed to eat them. Because it's interesting anyway that he mentioned Kodshi Kodashim. I would have just mentioned Truma, which is a derivative of Kedushat Aretz. So they compare that to Shvi'it.
There's also a machlokas here between Rashi and Tosfos with regards to how you're able to transact here in Perot Shvi'it. Rashi says you're allowed to transact here in Perot Shvi'it, even though we don't. Lo l'schora, l'achla v'lo l'schora. Is because mutar limkor shvi'it al maneat lechol hi v'damea kolim abiyur. So Rashi says the heter is here is that you're not really transacting. You're allowed to sell perot shvi'it as long as the assumption is that the money that's to face with the kedushah plus the perot that are kadosh with kedushat shvi'it all will be consumed before the zman abiyur. The other hand, Tosfos doesn't willing to accept that. And Tosfos says that the reason that you're allowed to transact here is that the isur minatorah is al achlo v'lo schora. And schora is only when you sell it in the store, it's when you sell it in the shuk. In a case where you do it one, it's a one-off time where you're going to sell it just because you don't have any alternative, that's not called schora in Perot Shvi'it. That's called taking care of a problem, not schora.
Now, they continue with the story of Reish Lakish. They said about Reish Lakish, Amro Truda Huadain. This guy is a little bit of a pain in the neck. He's going to cause us a little problem over here. We don't want him upstairs with us. Kimatul Atam Slikul Igwa, when they went to the place where they were going to, up to the Aliyah, where they were going to do the Ibar Shana, Shafula Daga Mutute. They pulled up the ladder and they left Reish Lakish outside. So no way you're coming in here. Atul Kamei Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish went before Rabbi Yochanan. I mean, they were Chavrusas, right? They went to Rabbi Yochanan. Malay Bnei Adam Achashudim Ashvi'it, Kshirim La'aber Ashana. People are Chashud Ashvi'it, are allowed to be Ma'aber Ashana. The statement of Reish Lakish here is unbelievable because these two individuals, these two Rabbanan, were not Chashud Ashvi'it. They were just malamid zchut on those that were chashul hashvit. So you see from this that someone who's yesh biyado la'akev to stop someone from doing something, he doesn't do it, they get that same title. Rish Lakish assigns the title of chashid b'shvit to them because they didn't stop those people that were chashid b'shvit. So he says, how could they be ma'abr the shana? So hadar mar lo kashli. He said, you know what? You don't have to answer me. I figured out the answer. Why? Dava shlosher way bakar. Right? That's like the shlosher rabeikah we saw back on Daf Yud Chet, where the rabbanim were going to be ma'abr the shana, and they overheard the roi bakar saying that the season, if this is the siman that the season is too early or the season is too late. So we see that they use information from the roi bakar to be ma'abr the shana. So they're no worse than roi bakar. So if they have information, we can use their information. Rabban achshavino samuch. So they achush benayu samuch. Rabban are someich on their calculation, and as a secondary a piece of information, they use the roi bakar. So also over here, they'll use them as a secondary piece of information. V'hadamar lo dami. He says, wait a minute. I'm wrong. You can't compare the cases. Hotam hodur imnu rabbanon v'abrua. Over there, in the case of the Rei Bakar, the Chamim went ahead and had a minion, meaning that whatever you required to do Iber Shana, 579, whatever you required to do Iber Shana, that number they had afterwards, they came together. They didn't use the Rei Bakar to make up the number of Rabbanon that you need for Iber Shana. Over here, they're counted amongst the minyan. And if they're Rishayim, if they can't be counted amongst the minyan, they're considered a Kesher Rishayim. The English translation would be a cabal of evildoers, but meaning that they are part of this minion here, and they can't be a part of the minion. I mean, the Roi Bakar weren't part of the minion, but then how could they be part of the minion? The Kesher Rishayim inu minyan. Kesher Rishayim cannot be counted towards a minyan of judges, and therefore they can't be Ma'abr the Shana over here. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Daka. So what Rabbi Yochanan, it's unclear what Rabbi Yochanan answered him here. Either he said to him, it's unfortunate. It's a misfortune that this happened. Unfortunate this happened. Which means, all right, okay, you know, they weren't so right in what they did. But you shouldn't be so, such a kanter. Shouldn't be so, omeid al dato that you can't forgive them. They didn't let you go up to the Ibra Shana. You don't have to call them Rishayim. But that's a little more too much. So that's one possibility that Rabbi Yochanan is saying. The other one is, Rabbi Yochanan is just saying, Daka, you're right, but I can't do anything about it. Rabbi Yochanan. Right. He rejected. He says it's too much. Right. Rashi is saying what the first pshat that I said, which is that you're going a little too far to call them Rishayim. All right, they left you out of the Ibra Shana. You don't have to go so far to call them Rishayim. You might be upset, but don't call them Rishayim. If he called you Rotzon, what if I would have said? So this answer of Yochanan also is unclear what he meant. Rotzon is worse than Rei Bakar. Bakar is Behema Gasa. Rotzon is a Behema Daka. So over here it would have been worse. So either Rabbi Yochanan says one of two things here. Either he's saying to them, if he called you something worse, I wouldn't have said anything to him. Why? Because you were wrong in excluding him from coming up to the Aliyah. You acted inappropriately with Reish Lakish, and therefore I'm not going to respond to him. That's one possibility. The other possibility is Rabbi Yochanan is saying, what does it matter what he calls you? Right? Why do you care what Reish Lakish calls you? That shouldn't matter to you. Whether he called you Roi Bakar, Roi Tzon, it shouldn't matter to you. Don't worry about it so much. Now the Gemara says, my Kesher Rishayim. This term Kesher Rishayim is a borrowed term. Where does it come from? So this comes from the story of Shevna and Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Shevna was the head of Chizkiyahu's palace. He ran all the doings of Chizkiyahu's palace. If you remember the story by Chizkiyahu HaMelech, the Navi Yishayahu tells him basically that Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed and captured by Ashur, and Sancheriv comes and lays siege to Yerushalayim. In the end, Sancheriv, we read this as Haftorah, Sancheriv does tshuva, and because he does tshuva, what happens? It's the famous story, there's a plague comes overnight and destroys the whole army of Sancheriv, and the siege from Yerushalayim is broken. But now, during the period of the siege, Shevna and Chizkiyahu were found inside the city of Yerushalayim, and as in any case with the siege, just like it happened in the time of the Romans, there's a break between them about what should happen. Should they surrender to Sancheriv, or should they stand up to Sancheriv and not surrender? So that's what the Gemara is going to, I'm giving you the background to the stories of what Gemara is going to discuss over here. Shevna v'Doresh v'Tleisa Revuta. Shevna used to be Doresh Torah, 130,000 people used to attend. Right? Chizkiyahu, v'Doresh v'Chatzar Revuta. Chizkiyahu used to be Doresh, but it was only 110,000. Gata Sancheriv etzar ala Yerushalayim. Sancheriv came and laid siege to Yerushalayim. Cut of Shevna Pitka. Shevna wrote a little note. Shada begira. He put it on a arrow and shot it out. And it said to Sancheriv, Shevna v'siato ishlimu. Shevna and his followers want to make peace. We want to surrender. Chizkiyahu v'siato. Chizkiyahu and his followers lo ishlimu. They don't want to surrender. Basically, what was he doing? He was assuming that Yerushalayim is going to be captured and destroyed. So he's setting up that he'll be in good stead when Sennacherib destroys it. They'll take Shebna, make him the governor, make him the ruler over Yerushalayim, because he's the one who's willing to make peace, whereas Chizkiyahu was not. Shenemar, how do we know this? Kinei ha-Rishayim yidrachun. Rishayim come and they bend their bow. Kidrachun keshet. Konunu chitzam al yeter. They ready their arrow on the bowstring. So the arrow here could either be a representative of Lashon Hara, right? The Lashon Hara is compared to an arrow of chitzim. Or the other possibility is that that's exactly what he did. He shot an arrow. The Rishayim send out arrows with their information on it. So that's the case here. Habakam istafei Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu was a little bit worried, embarrassed, afraid about what's happening over here. Amar dilma chas v'shalom metiyah dateidah kosh baruch hu bateruba. Shemna's the rov, because he has 130,000. I only have 110,000 followers. So he's the rov. Maybe Akash Baruch is going to go with the rov. The rov says they want to surrender, and I'm going to lose over here. Kevin Deruba, Mimsrei, Inunami Mimsrei. Since the rov want to go that way, we're also going to be given over to Sennacherib. Ba Navi, Yishayahu comes to him, Ba Marlo. Lo Tomrun Kesher. Don't say anything about this Kabal. L'chol Asher Yomar Ha'am Azeh Kesher. Everything they're saying is a Kesher, is a Kabal, it's a Kesher Rishayim. Klomar Kesher Rishayim Hu. All their plans, all their thoughts are thoughts of evil and plans of the evil. V'Kesher Rishayim Einu Min HaMinyan. And plans of evil or people who are associated with evil do not count towards a number. So even though they were the majority, they don't count anymore because they have evil plans. You are the majority. And what you say is gonna dictate. Halach. So now it's gonna talk about Shebna. It goes off, and we know in the end that Chizkiyahu listens to Yishayahu and Navi, does tshuva, and he's saved because of that. Now the Gemara is gonna talk about Shebna himself. Halach laktsov lo kever b'kivrei Beit David. Shebna went to dig himself a grave in Kivrei Beit David. Why? His assumption was that Sennacherib will conquer the city, he'll be made into somebody important, a governor or a king, and so he made himself a grave in the king's graveyard because he's gonna be king. So Ba Navi v'amarlo, Malachavo, what are you doing here? Umilachavo, and who do you have over here? Kichatzav lechavo kover, that you made for yourself a grave over here. The Gemara actually skips the end of the pasuk and then continues with the beginning of the next pasuk. Hine Hashem metaltelecha, taltelei gover. Hashem's gonna make you wander, like a intense wandering like that of a man. So Amar Rav, Tiltula de Gavra Kashi Miditita. It's clear from here that the tiltul a golus for a man is much worse than that for a woman, because he said to him, I'm gonna give you a tiltul de gover. So the fact that he told him that indicates that it was much worse for a man. Why is that? Because for a man being centered, you know, like for him his occupation is being settled is very important, and therefore he's getting unsettled is more difficult. Or the other possibility is that people have rachmanis on a woman, they don't have rachmanis on a man. So a man goes into Golos, he's not going to have anybody have rachmanis on him. Ba'otchato, I'm going to send you circling far away. So the Gemara doesn't darshan it literally like that. That's a little meaning of the pasuk. It's a continuation of these pasukim. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Malamed, Sheparcho Bo Tzarat. That Shebna got leprosy. Tivacha va'otcha ato. Tivatam va'safam yateh. By the Mitzorah, it says they have to sit outside. He has to cover his mustache. And be tamei tamei yikra. So they go yateh, yateh. These are Tzarat. Then it says, Tzanof itz nafechot nefa. He's going to wind you around like a turban. Kadur el eretz rechavat yadayim. The word kadur here is difficult to translate. Kadur el eretz rechavat yadayim. You'll go to a place with no obstacles. So kadur, there are three different possibilities of translating the word. Rashi says kadur means kshura. You'll be hurled or jettisoned out to a place where there are no obstacles. That's one possibility. Tosus brings two other possibilities. The kadur is dira, that you will settle down in a place far away. You'll be thrown out of here. Or number two is, Tosus says is kakadur. Even though there's no kafa dimyon here, nevertheless, he says that in Tanakh, sometimes even without a kafa dimyon, it really means kikadur. You'll be rolled out of here like a ball. All right, so that's what does that mean? Tano, who begesh klon beit adonav? He wanted to embarrass Chizkiyahu and have him be fallen to the hands of Sennacherib and he'd be the king. The vikach nepach vodo the cologne. His honor turned into embarrassment. Ki hava nafik iu, when he was leaving the city, ata gavriel. Gavriel came ahead, achade the dashi beape. He closed the door behind Shebna, so the achde ledash vape mashar yate. All his followers, he slammed the door shut, and all his followers are stuck in the city. So it's only Shebna is now left outside the city alone. So he gets the Sanherib, and Sarah says, where are your followers? You shot a thing out here, Shebna and his followers are coming. So Amru Hajubi, they decided not to follow me. They walked back in. So you're making fun of us. You're making a joke out of us. Here, you think you're coming all these followers, and here you're one guy. So they punctured his heels. They tied him up to the tails of the horses. They dragged them around on the thorns and the thistles. Obviously, it was not a very pleasant experience. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Shevna Bal Hanahaya. Shevna was a person who enjoyed the pleasures of this world. I would say more particularly that he was into, here, Rashi claims that either he was a Bal Hanah, Kimashmao, or he liked Mishkav Zachar. So he liked men. I would just say here that I think that the Gemara is either saying that he preferred women or men. Either way, that's the Tup Shatim over here. You'll see from the proof. Ketiv HaOchad says here, Lech Boel HaSochein Hazeh, go to this Sochein. The Sochein here is referring to Shevna, who's in charge of the palace of Chizkiyahu. So he tells Yishayahu, go speak to Shevna. Uchtiv Hatam, it says by David HaMelech, Vayti Lo Sochenet, by Fisha Gashunamit, when she is brought to sleep with David, she's called a Sochenet. So she could be a Sochenet because she's sleeping with David, and that's the indications here that he liked to sleep with women or he's liked to sleep with men. The other possibility is that he could just be a Bal Hanah. He enjoyed pleasures of life, just like Avisha Shunamit provided heat and warmth to David, that he enjoyed the pleasures of life. Again, this is not a positive statement about Shevna. Okay, Ki Hashatot Yehei Rasun, says in Tehillim that the foundations will be destroyed. Tzadik Mapao, the Tzadik, what has he done? So now this is an ambiguous Pasuk. We're going to have three interpretations, possible interpretations of the Pasuk. Rav Yehuda, Rav Eina, Chadamar, one says, Elu Chizkiyahu V'siyato, right, Nerasim. If Chizkiyahu loses out here, if he's destroyed by Sanherev, Tzadik Mapao, Hashem, what type of reward are you going to be, or what is the schar that you're going to pay to Chizkiyahu if he gets destroyed? V'chadamar, one says, Ilu Beit HaMikdash Yiharis, if the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, Tzadik Mapao, Hashem, what's going to be with your kavod? It's going to be a tremendous chilul Hashem if Sanherev destroys the Mikdash. What's going to be with you, Hashem? So both of these two interpretations say Tzadik Mapao is referring to Hashem. Hashem, what will be with you, right? Meaning that what is with the schar that you're supposed to give to Chizkiyahu, or what's going to be with your name if the Mikdash is destroyed or if Chizkiyahu is destroyed? But then the third one is Ulamar, Ilu Elu Makshavotov Shaloto Rasha. It must be that these evil thoughts of Shevna must be destroyed, because if they are not, in Anei Asrot, Tzadik Mapao, what's going to be with Chizkiyahu? What's going to happen to Chizkiyahu? So over here, Tzadik refers to Chizkiyahu, not Hashem. Tzadik Mapao, what is he going to do? What's going to happen to him? Bishlam on the Mandamari Elu Makshavot Shaloto Rasha. According to one who says that the Hashatot, these foundations, are the thoughts of the evil people, well, the Mandamari Beit HaMikdash, Nami, or the one who says Beit HaMikdash, then we know that we can explain the word Hashatot. Titnan, because we have the word Evan Haita Sham Mimot Nevim Rishonim Shtiya Haita Nikrei. In the Migdash, when it says that the Evan Ashtiya was a stone on which the Aron sat that was in the Kodesh HaKodashim, they called the Evan Ashtiya. So if you say the word Hashatot, foundations could either be the Migdash, or Hashatot can be the thoughts of Rishaim. Rashi brings a nice proof. Brings that from Paro. It says, Paro lo shat libo gam lazot. Shat is a thought. So there he says, shat over here, Hashatot are the thoughts, the evil plans, the evil thoughts. So that's Rashi brings the proof that Hashatot can be evil thoughts. Hashatot can be the Mikdash we have from Eben Ashtiyah. Where do we ever find that Tzadikim are called foundations? It says, Dichtiv, we do. Because it says by Tfilat Chana, Ki Lashem Mitzukei Eretz. For Hashem are the pillars of earth, V'yashet Eleim Tevel, He sets out the earth or the world upon them. Those pillars that Chana is speaking about, there's obviously are the Tzadikim. He brings V'id Ba'itema Mihocha, we have another proof, is He flee Eitzah. Hashem had wondrous counsel. Higdil Tushia. His wisdom is abundant. Now Tushia over here is referring to the Torah. We're going to see in a second. So Higdil Tushia, the Torah, the greatness of Torah. So the wisdom of Torah. Who has the wisdom of Torah? The Tzadikim. So you see the wisdom of Torah, they're playing on the word Tushia. Tushia, which is Torah, sounds like Hashatot. So because of that, we say that Tzadikim are like Hashatot, like foundations. Alright, Amar Rav Chanan, Lama Nikra Shema Tushia? Why is the Torah called Tushia? Mipnei Shehi Mateshet Kocho Shel Adam, because it weakens the individual. So we know that from the story, the famous story by Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in Baba Metzia, when Rabbi Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, come and learn. Reish Lakish used to be able to jump from the bank to the boat and back. As soon as he started to learn Torah, he agreed to learn Torah, he couldn't jump anymore. And that's what the Gemara says, because Torah is Mateshet Kocho Shel Adam, weakens the person. Davar Acher Tushia, Shnitna Bechashai Mipnei Satan. It was given quietly, so the Satan wouldn't see it, because the Satan says, what are you giving the Torah to the Tachtonim? It belongs up here with the Elyonim. Davar Acher Tushia, Dvarim Shel Tohu, Shalom Mushultat Alav. These are Dvarim Shel Tohu. Tohu here doesn't mean nothingness, but Tohu means intangible items, as Rashi says. Something that's intangible. How do you learn Torah? Divdei Torah are just words. Words are intangible items. So Tohu, the word Tohu means something that is not tangible. So those things that are intangible will hold up, will be the foundation of the earth. What is intangible? Divrei Torah. That's what's going to hold up the world. So Amar Ula, Machshava Mo'elet Afilu Divrei Torah. So over here, Ula suggests that Machshava, Rashi gives two interpretations over here of what Machshava is. It says, one is Dagat Alev Amazonotav Shel Adam. If a person is worried about his parnasa, a person is always worried about his parnasa, not only will it cause him to forget about everything else, it will also cause him to forget about his Torah. He'll forget the words of Torah that he learned because he's so worried about his Dagat Parnasa. That's one explanation that Rashi gives. The other explanation that Rashi gives is that a Machshava plans, that a person lays out to do something, they will always fail because they're not the plans of Hashem. Man's plans will always fail, even if they're about Torah. If you say, I'm going to finish a Masechta by this and this day, I'm going to do this and this by this day, it'll never work out because they are man's plans. So that's the other possibility that Rashi gives as the explanation of what's the Gemara over here. So Amar Ula Machshavet. Even with Tafyomi, I can tell from experience. Amar Ula Machshava Mo'elet Afilu Divrei Torah. So Machshava even affects Divrei Torah. Shinemar, because it says, Mefer Machshavot Arum. Shem nullifies the machshavot erumim, the plans of those that are cunning. Lo taseni yadem tushia. In the end, their results, right? The results of their hands, nothing will come of them. But over here, we're playing on tushia again, being Torah. So even those mefer machshavot erumim, those that are nullified because of their right, empty thoughts, I mean their thoughts of either plans, right, or their thoughts of parnasa. Lo taseni yadem tushia. Their Torah will be forgotten. Their Torah will be lost. But if they do it lishma, then it's not a problem. Why? Because it says rabo machshavot b'lev ish. That's when they're machshavot ish. Vatzat Hashem hitakum. Itza sheish b'dvar Hashem. Itza that's l'shem shamayim hitakum neolam. So stuff that is done lishma, that's making that will stand because it's atzat Hashem. That's what Hashem's plans. Hashem's plans always go through. But if it's atzat adam, it's personal plans. Those are the type of plans that will fail over here. So now we get into our Gemara over here, Amar Yehuda, Imatai. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda qualifies the statement and says, when is a Mesachek B'kubia Pasul Eidut? That's when he has no other parnosa besides this. But he has another parnosa, it's not a problem. So Gemara says, Amar Yehuda, Malaza, Locha, Ki Rabbi Yehuda. The Locha is like Rabbi Yehuda over here. Look in Tosos, Tosos says over here, in Ochanami, the Locha is like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore, Mesachek B'kubia is not Pasul Eidut, unless that is his parnosa. He's at, and number two, he says, it's not asur to be misachek b'kubia as a hobby or to do it for fun. He says, that's not asur. He says, as long as the money is put out on the table in front, and it's not done by manah in trust, as long as the money's all out on the table, there's no problem with smachta, there's no problem of yishubo shel olam, because you have another parnosa, therefore you could gamble according to Tosfos over here.
Money.
Right, so that's a great, probably they have equivalents of money, that might be enough. But anyway, Tosfos has this idea over here. Obviously, we spoke about it back when we spoke about the Mishnah, that's a major machlokes of Rishonim over here, whether the halacha, when is asmachta lokanya, what is considered asmachta. Number two, is gambling allowed? Anyway, is misachek b'kubia problematic, even if it's not asmachta, and even if it's not his hobby, and we saw that in the Rambam, and in the Shulchan Aruch, both paskin, that it's problematic, even though it's not his main parnasa. The Ramah disagreed or brought down the alternative opinions. We saw that has implications to the halacha. All these psulei drabanan have to be announced in Bezin. Bezin has to announce that they're psulei dut. So roeh pligiba. What about a roeh? Do they have to announce it or not? Pligiba rabach ravina. Chadamar bayachvaza. One says they do need announcement. Chadamar lo bayachvaza. Bishlam amar lo bayachvaza. According to one who says you don't need announcement, say that roeh is psulei dut. Hanodar Rav Yehuda. That's what we saw yesterday's daf. Amar Rav. Stam roeh pasul. that a regular roe is pasul eidut. Stam roe is pasul eidut. So that's, you don't need a chwazo because his stam is pasul eidut. Lama devar by a chwazo, my stam roe pasul. What do you mean? What do you mean he's stam pasul? You have to wait for the announcement. The bestam of machrizina, like, no, that's right. Bestam, they're going to announce on him because he's a roe that he's not good for eidut. I am a tana dav chatime alei trei gazlanin. This is a gift that was granted to someone, and sign on it were two thieves. Sabara Papa by Shmuel Achshura. He wanted to be matir, the gift to go through. We never announced that they were psulei dut. The only when it's psulei dut derabbanan, that's when you need an announcement. Gazlan do right on me being in achshura. These people are gazlanim in the Torah. Gazlanim in the Torah don't need any announcement. They're pasul straight, you know, straight out. They're shaim out to shade aid, right? Aid rasha. You're not allowed to make a rasha an aid, and these are rishaim. You can't make them aidim. They don't need any announcement for that. So therefore, the gift is, or this document, or this gift is invalid. These aidim cannot be evidence to the gift. All right, next case. Amar Rav Nachman, ochle davar acher psulim le'edut. People eat davar acher. Throughout Shas, the acher is used for either basar chazir or tzarat. Over here, Rashi and Tosfos both say that that's not the case. Over here, ochle davar acher is an amazing statement of Rashi and Tosfos. Over here, mekablei tzedakah min anachrim. Someone accepts tzedakah from non-Jews. Psulim le'edut, or pasul le'edut. Why are they pasul le'edut? Rashi tells you it's a chilul Hashem machmat mamon. You're willing to take money, it's a chilul Hashem. Either because, I would say that either because the Jews are not supporting him, and it's a non-Jew that's supporting him, or number two, because a Kodesh Baruch Hu makes it look like a Kodesh Baruch Hu is not providing for his nation, and you're taking money from someone else. So therefore it's a huge chilul Hashem. So then they say, "Hani mil befes." You only if he does it publicly. If he does it privately, that's not a big deal. Number two is a profess. If he does it publicly, that he has the ability to get some sort of way. I mean, that he has a way to get a parnos, or he has a way to live. If it's a pikuach nefesh, of course he can take the money from these individuals. If he has the possibility of doing it privately and he still does it in public, then we say, listen, there was no reason for you to do it in public. You could have done it privately. So the fact is, if he needs it and there's no other way to do it, fine. If he needs it and there is another way to do it to Bitsina and he doesn't do Bitsina, then it's no good. And even by Tzina, we'd say if he doesn't need it, he shouldn't do it because it's a Chilul Hashem. If there's no other way to do it, this is his livelihood, this is the only way he can make a living, or this is the only way he can survive, then we permit him to do it. I mean, pikuach nefesh, we don't say, we don't worry about the little chilul Hashem that might be created from this. Alright, Amar Rav Nachman, achashud al arayot kasher leidut. Someone is chashud to prefer, involved with women is kasher leidut. Amar Rav Sheshet, Oni Mari, please explain to me, my master, Arbaim Bekatfei, he's going to get Malkos, 40 Malkos for Kasher? Now, why is he getting Malkos over here? Tosfos says he's getting Malkos because we have this principle that Lokina lo tov hashmua. That if there's rumors, bad rumors circulate about you, you get Malkos de Rabbanon. There is such a thing as Malkos de Rabbanon. That's what Tosfos says it's over here. Rashi says over here that you get Malkos over here because there is no Hachua. You didn't have Hachua, therefore you were not punished for the Arayot, but you get Malkos lo tov hashmua. But Rashi seems to say that there was a real problem here, but he's getting Malkos alo tova shmua. It doesn't seem to say we don't know what he did. It's just alo tova shmua, just the rumors of why we're giving him Malkos. But why is he kosher le'edut? Amar Rava, Omoder Rav Nachman, Inon Eidut Usha, Shu Pasul. Wait, let's qualify this. He can't testify to by women. Why? Because his desire are women, not money. His desire is women. So therefore, he can't testify about women because what is he going to try to do? He's going to try to get this woman free so that he can partake of this woman. So Amar Yima, Yitim Rapapa, Lo Amar Nala Fuka. That's only if he has testifying about the fact this woman should be freed from her husband. But if he's testifying that this woman should be married to her husband, that's not a problem. Why? Because then he can't get access to her. We're worried about him enjoying the woman, and if he leaves her with her husband, that's not enjoying. So he's not. We don't suspect his edut in that case. Pshita. Of course, that makes sense. He'd rather the woman's married. Why? Because stolen waters are much sweeter. He'd rather have her married, because then he can have an illicit relationship with her than just a relationship with her. That this person has a problem, and he wants more and more women. Or he enjoys relations so much that he'd rather have access than be my genuvim mimtaku, rather than be something illicit. He just wants her to be always available, and therefore that's the kamash balan, that we don't worry about him when it comes to leaving the woman married. We only worry about him when it comes to divorce. Tosfos asks in general, why is this different? We're going to see in a second that ochel nevelo de teavon. someone who violates an isur of eating the velot, non-kosher food, the teavon, because he's forced, but because simply he is enjoying that, we say that he's pasul eidut. So why isn't this any? Why is this any worse? Why is this any better? Why is he pasul eidut here? So Tosfos gives different answers over here. One answer is that the cases where we didn't know he did it for sure. It was al lo tov hashma. It was just rumors. That's why he's pasul eidut. The other possibility Tosfos says is that the yetzer for erva is just too strong. The yetzer for erva is so strong that he can't. We understand he can't get overcome that. Doesn't mean that he's a bad person all around. On the other hand, the yetzer for eating the velot is not such a great yetzer. If a person is already willing to violate that, that means he's chomed mamon. He's willing. He wants to eat non-kosher food. It's cheaper. It's easier. He doesn't consider other being violating isurei doraisa. That's not a consideration for him. Right now, Amar Rav Nachman, Ganav Nisan and Ganav Tishrei. These individuals who are seasonal ganavim is because the Nisan is the harvest for the grains, and Tishrei is when they bring in the fruits, either the Chag Asif, the Asif they bring in, or it's the Botzer, they're picking the fruits off the vines or off the trees. Lo Shmei Ganav, he's not called a Ganav. Hana Mile Be'arisa, this is only if he's a sharecropper. Bedavar Mu'at, and he takes a small amount. Udvar Shigmar Lechto, and something that's already finished. Why? Because the Arisa is more a heter to himself. He says, listen, you know what? I worked here, I worked so hard here, I can take a couple of little extra fruits with me. So he's more a heter. Also, has to be Migmar Melechto, because he says, look, I'm like a poel, I'm like a worker. A worker is allowed to take fruits that have Gemar Melechto, he's allowed to eat as much as he wants, and he can take them. So I should be no worse than a worker, I should be able to take them. So what they're pointing out here is something that we discussed yesterday, where the individual is more heter for himself to do it. We don't say that he's suspected of violating Isurim for Mamon. It's just that he thinks it's okay in this case. That was the case by Kofer Be'Pikadon. By Kofer Be'Pikadon, he says, I'm going to pay for it, therefore it's okay. When he's more heter in that case, we say he's not Pasul De'edut. So over here, when he's more heter for himself to steal a little bit, then we say he's not Pasul De'edut because it's unique to the circumstances. He wouldn't generally steal outside of this context. All right, Ichrei to Rav Zvid, the people who work the fields of Rav Zvid, he's not an aris, not a sharecropper, but one of Poalim. Chad ganav kabba desare, one of them stole a kav worth of barley, upasle, and he made him posel de'edut. Chad ganav kiboro dahini, one of them took a kav worth of dates, upasle, and he was posel him li edut. All right, Mark, then he's hanu kavurai, the kavur nafshabi. No, because there was an arisa. That was an arisa. A sharecropper was more a heter for himself. There we said over here. Here these were regular poalim, and they're walking off with, first of all, it doesn't sound like it was a davar muat. They took a kaf, took a full kaf. So either it's different than the previous case because it's too much, or the difference here is that they are poalim, and poalim are not allowed to walk out with the fruits there. They're allowed to eat on the field, but they're not allowed to walk away with the fruits that are there. Alright. There were these people who worked for the Barrow Society, and they used to bury Meitim on the first day of Yom Tov. First day of Yom Tov is Nisa Doraita to dig a grave to do it. They used to get paid. They got paid to do it. So they went in and they buried on the first day of Yom Tov. Shabtinu Rapapo Paslinu Eidut. Rapapo put them into a Nidoy and he made them Pasul Eidut. These people are willing to take money to violate an Isur Torah of the first day of Yom Tov. So Vachshirinu Ravuna Breder Vishu. Ravuna Breder Vishu says they're okay. They're Kashur Eidut. Why? Some are like a papa. Rishayim, you know? These guys are Rishayim. They violate Yom Tov for money. How could they not be called Rishayim? Says Savri Mitzvah Kovit. They think they're doing a mitzvah. Bearing a mate is a mitzvah, so they think they're doing a mitzvah. Bearing it on the first day of Yom Tov. Yeah, they're getting money, but they still think it's a mitzvah to do it. I put them into excommunication, and they still keep doing it. Even after I excommunicate them, I put them into Nidu, they still do it. So it's obvious they know that it's not a mitzvah anymore. Says no. Savri Kapara Gavdila Rabbanan. No, they think it's a mitzvah to bury the mate on the first day of Yom. They realize they're violating Yom Tov, so they need a kapara. So the kapara is the nidui that the Rabbanan put him into. So they're more, again, they don't think of this as being something negative. They're not seeing this as being a violation of an Isur. If they're not seeing it as being a violation of Isur, then they're more ahead to themselves. Again, they're only pasul in this context. They're not pasul the edut in general, because we don't suspect them of stealing money in any case. Just in this case, they're more ahead to it. It's a mitzvah, and I can get kapara by putting it to nidui afterwards, even though they're wrong. But nevertheless, since they can talk themselves into that, we say they're only doing it because of that thought process, not because they really are chomed mamon. It's not because they love money so much that they're willing to violate the isur of Yom Tov. All right, let's stop over here.